welcome to Island Ghost Radio.
Thank you.
Wow, that's completely unexpected. It's almost like I was holding up a sign that said, please applaud. Well, I'm your host, Mike Taylor.
I'm Erica Popino.
And I'm Diane Constell.
And we are a group called Island Ghost Investigations. Island Ghost Radio is a show all about the paranormal. Paranormal, I should say. I'm a little nervous, as you can see. Not used to doing this in front of a crowd. We are ghost hunters from Long Island, hence the name Island Ghost. And we are recording this show live from the Shanley Hotel.
Welcome, welcome.
Welcome, yes. Tonight on the show, Erica, who do we have as our guest?
We have Sal Nicosa.
Wait. And who is Sal?
Sal is the owner of the Shanley Hotel along with his wife, Cindy.
Wow, what a coincidence that we're at the Shanley Hotel and we have the owner on our show.
Yes, that is quite strange.
Yeah, that's odd. Okay, so if you hear people clapping in the background here, that's because we are doing an event here. We're taking everyone ghost hunting later. And we're going to hopefully capture some good stuff.
Yeah, we were here last night and we got some interesting things and some good EVPs.
Yeah, we're going to be playing some of those later.
Terrific.
Awesome.
cool beans.
Groovy. So let's talk about some of our experiences our group has had at the hotel. We first came up here, October?
October, yeah.
2008.
And why don't you share some of your experiences?
Lou and I came up a night early and got to know Sal. And the first night we stayed here, we were in Market Reed's room, and about 3 o'clock in the morning, I got woken up to a baby crying. And there was no baby in the hotel. As we know from the history of the hotel, the Shanleys had 3 babies pass away here under the age of 9 months. So I thought that was a little strange. Lou, why don't you come up and share one of your experiences?
All right. Like Erica said, we came up here first, and it was Erica, I, and Sal sitting on the porch. I mean, Sal was smoking cigarettes. And we all of a sudden, there's a porch that runs from the front and the side. All of a sudden, we heard footsteps on the side of the porch. Right? We heard it 3 times. Me and Erica looked at each other. I got up, went to investigate. I walked along the porch, walked around the back, and there was nobody there. Nobody could get underneath the porch because it's too small to crawl
underneath. Well, not only did we hear the footsteps,
but we felt the vibrations on the wood. So as I'm walking back, I invited the spirit to come over and hang out with us. I turn around and I start walking back, and I hear the footsteps right behind me, and I feel the vibrations right behind me. I stopped, got that chill up my spine, and said, okay, I know there's not going to be anybody there when I turn around. I turn around, and sure enough, nobody was there. So I said, okay, come on over and join us, and went back and hung out and party down.
Cool.
Thank you, Lou.
Thanks, Lou.
And there was no song for that one.
Do you have any experiences?
Yeah, so the last time we were here, we were up on the 3rd floor doing an investigation, and Dana and I had gone into the writer's room, which was on the 3rd floor. It's not renovated. And we came out, and there's a door right outside the room, and the doorknob started to rattle like someone was coming through. And I stopped and looked, and everybody heard it, and I actually could see it moving. And it turns out that there's nothing in there but a closet, and I think they're turning it into a bathroom. And Sal told me that other people have experienced that as well. And, you know, at first I thought maybe it was a vibration or air pressure from the house. But no, it was very strange. In fact, I opened the door because I wanted to see what was in there. But I believed it to the point where I thought someone was coming through the door. And I'm like, there's nobody in there. It's impossible.
Yeah.
Well, my experience is, when I first heard about this hotel, I said to myself, the Shanley? It sounds awful a lot like the Stanley. So I was a little confused. Saw them on MySpace. I'm always skeptical of places that advertise that they have spirits because you think, oh, yeah, sure, you know. So we came up here, and first night we were here, unbelievable evidence that we captured. And I had a personal experience where I was sitting on the 3rd floor, and we had a full moon that night, and I was looking out across the hallway to another room, and I saw a black figure walk across, and it blocked out the moonlight. My first reaction was, okay, someone's messing with us. There's a trap door in there. Somebody must have came out of that trap door and snuck across. And I went in there, and sure enough, you know, there's no trap door. Got home, started reviewing the evidence, and was really surprised by some of the stuff we've captured. and we're going to be playing some of that later in the show.
Yeah, but you jumped out of your chair and ran. We're like, where the hell's Mike going?
Well, don't word it that way. Let's say that I ran towards
it. He ran away.
He wasn't running away.
It wasn't a dude run moment.
Don't fail me now. Tara and Dana, do you have any experiences from the Shanley?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hello, Tara.
Oh, hi. let's see. I think for me one of the best experiences was I spent the night in the quiet room, and on the second floor. I was asleep by myself. In the middle of the night, my entire bed was shaking. And it woke me up. I mean, it was...
You just had it on vibrate mode.
I ran out of quarters. I bolted up. And when I looked, it actually looked like there was, like, a depression, like, on the bed. Like, someone was, like, sitting on the corner of the bed. So that was pretty neat. And I think the other thing that was pretty cool, upstairs is a bordello. And we were, well, that's kind of like a group story.
Right.
Group experience.
Go ahead, start us off.
Get us rolling on this one.
All right, so who was it? It was the four of us.
It was Erica,
Diane,
you, and myself.
And we're up in the bordello. So we're using the Ovilus, and how do I explain it?
You were enticing the spirits.
We're using it to communicate with the spirits.
You want me to you want me to like start this off?
All right, if you want, go
okay. Well, we do some strange things during investigations to entice spirits to come out. We will sing to them. We will put objects out. We bought a music box from like 100 years ago. We play old music. And Tara was trying to seduce the spirits.
Entice the spirit and pretend like
I was
the lady of the night.
It was a bordello, so.
We thought it was fitting. So, I was just saying, like, funny, what do you want me to do? And, you got to do what you can to try to get a rise out of the spirits. And
literally.
You know it. Put a ching. And wouldn't you know it, that all of a sudden the ovilus starts going, sexy. And I was like, oh, thank you. And I said, well, what do you want me to do for you? And I said, smile. I mean, it was just hilarious.
And then she starts taking, she takes off her sweatshirt, and it goes slow. She goes, you want me to do it slow?
There's a DVD coming out of that.
It kept saying sex.
Sexy. And then Erica and I, heard footsteps.
Coming up the bordello.
Coming up towards the direction of the bed. And then at that point.
We just started laughing.
We
just got so happy. You could hear, we left change out too on the madam's bench. And we could hear the change being counted. Like somebody was actually hear the chink, chink, chink. We're just looking at each other in amazement. Tara, don't forget the story about what happened to you up in the quiet room when you were trying to lock the door.
Oh, lock, that's right. Also, when I was in the quiet room, it was the morning after my bed was shaken.
You ran out of quarters.
I know. I have a reputation
good times.
Group, you can see. I went to get dressed. We were going to go have breakfast or something, and I went to shut the door, and for some reason, whatever, I couldn't. There's a hook and eye latch on the door, and for some reason, I wasn't matching it up, and I couldn't lock it. So whatever, I turned around, I got dressed, and when I went to leave, it was latched.
Well, they didn't want you to leave.
Or they just, wanted to help the dumb girl that couldn't lock the door. But
Or they wanted you to deposit more quarters.
I know. But I have heard that other people have had the same experience in that room. So it was pretty cool. It was definitely a happening place up in the Shanley for sure.
Definitely. Definitely.
Thank you, Tara.
Dana. Thank you, Tara.
Woo. Hello.
Hello, Dana.
I'm a little shorter.
Move that mic.
Hello, everybody. I guess the first time, my second time here, was in October, and Cindy was taking us for a tour. And we were up in the bordello, and I started feeling really dizzy and lightheaded. And Cindy did explain that a lot of people do feel that way when they go up to the Bordello. And then the only other one was when Mike, right before Mike went towards the spirit he saw, I kept looking over there because I thought I saw something, but I was like, all right, something's playing with my eyes and everything. Mm-hmm. But once I saw Mike bolt over towards it, I'm like, I have seen something.
Again, running towards it, not away.
Running towards it. So, yeah, that was pretty cool because I wasn't sure with, you know, the light at night and the moon, something was playing with my eyes. So that was really cool.
Cool. Last night, thank you, Dana. Last night I was up on the third floor and I was walking down the hallway and it felt like my pants got stuck on something, like somebody grabbed the bottom of my jeans and I felt a tug. And then I put my flashlight on because I like to walk around in the dark. And there was nothing there. So I, you know.
Someone goosed you?
Yeah, no, it wasn't a goose. It was low. It was by the ankle.
Oh, I thought you said it was Lou.
Mike, you got goosed in the gentleman's quarters.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Yes, I did. I was setting up my camera in there and something goosed me on the butt.
But the funny thing about that is it's the gentleman's quarters. It was just Mike and three IGI women, and they touched Mike's butt. Go figure.
Yes, thank you. Thank
you. Yes, it was a homosexual ghost. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
How do we know it wasn't a woman? Could have been one of the Bordello girls.
Maybe it was the lady for the night, came downstairs to check out the goods.
That's right.
She okay, Mike. You just think what you want to.
I will, thank you. I'll live with my fantasies. Thank you. All right, so let's bring Sal up now. Sal, the owner of the Shanley. Let's hear it for Sal. Sal, you want to sit here?
You get the chair.
You get the seat of honor. It's the big cheese, the head honcho.
So, Sal, can you tell us a little bit about the history of the Shanley?
The Shanley was built in 1845 by Mr. Rich and was known as the Rich Hotel, Thomas Rich Hotel.
Was it Richie Rich? Oh, come on, I'm sorry.
And
well, he must have been rich to build this place.
Yeah, and the hotel, he opened it up in 1845, and in 1851, it was sold to another gentleman. And he had it for until 1895 when the hotel, next door to the hotel, there was a private house. And the private house caught on fire, spread to the hotel, and the hotel, both of them burned right down to the ground.
Wow.
And that was in March of 1895. He swore he would never put up another hotel, but the people in town talked him into it. And when he rebuilt the hotel, he built it on both foundations. Now, the hotel burnt down in March, and by November the same year, the hotel was reopened.
That was quick.
Yeah.
And you know, everything is hand done. There was no power tools back then. And over the years, there's been a lot of famous people that came to the Shanley Hotel, Eleanor Roosevelt, Thomas Edison. It has a lot of history to it. During Prohibition, it was closed down a couple of times. It was raided by the federal agents. It had a brothel in the back upstairs, which is still there. No.
The brothel's still there?
But it's not in operation.
Damn it. And I brought quarters.
You're talking about quarters on the bed, you know, vibrating of the bed. That's quite common in here. Shannon Sylvia's husband, Jeff, twice took a nap in Marguerite's room and in the afternoon, and the bed started vibrating. And the second time, Tom from Mass Paranormal was here, and they took an EMF meter and put it in the center of the bed, and the EMF meter started lighting up and everything. You know, so we have a lot of things that go on in a hotel. You're talking about being poked. We have a hiney poker in a hotel. And
are you referring to me? Because I don't do that anymore.
And with the ladies, they like to, we call them the good old boys, and they like to fool around with the ladies. You'll feel getting kissed on the side of your neck, your hair being curled. You'll get your back rubbed.
This is turning out to be a great hotel.
Can I get a massage?
You'll get a massage. The redhead ladies did, you know, when they were back there in the gentlemen's quarters, and they had a blast back there. You know.
So what year do you believe that the bordello existed in the hotel?
1910, they put that up.
And how long do you think, or do you know how long that lasted?
It lasted until the 40s.
Wow, that long. It's pretty, all through Prohibition.
Right, right.
Sal, what year did you move to Napanock?
I moved into Napanock 2000.
Napanock. Sorry, go ahead.
Now, you lived down the street, didn't you, Sal?
Yes. When we first moved into Napanock, we bought an old house that we found out was one of the first houses in the area. And we completely redone the house and found out the house was built in 1707, the first section of the house. As the family grew, they added on to the house. It's a stone colonial. And the third section was completed in 1820.
You could actually see photos of that house right on your website?
Yes.
www.shanleyhotel.com?
Yes.
And that house is for sale now, isn't it?
Yes, the house is up for sale.
Awesome.
It's a beautiful house.
Has a lot of history to it. The colonel that lived there, he fought in the Continental Army. He fought alongside George Washington. Matter of fact, they called him Colonel, but when he left the Continental Army, George Washington made him General. So, and he's buried right up in the cemetery right here, you know. And it was the first grist mill that was in the area that was built there. And that's what the family of the Stone House was mainly, was the grist mill. You know, matter of fact, one of the sons was told he wanted to build a grist mill on the other side of the stream. And his father told him that if he did, he would disinherit him from the and disown him from the family. That this one grist mill had to stay in business.
Well, when you first moved up here, Sal, what state was the Shanley in? And what kind of condition?
It was completely destroyed.
Really? Was it vacant at the time while you were living up here?
It was vacant. The Shanley, when we first came in, the ceilings were hanging. We had to run all brand new wiring, new plumbing. We had to jack up the inside of the building. They had taken down a load-bearing wall in the old bar area, which the whole second and third floor dropped 6.5 inches. And we jacked it back up 6 inches. And on the other side where the dining room was, it has, up in the attic, has like an old railroad, it looks like a railroad truss with two turnbuckles that come down to the first floor. And that's what was holding that side of the building up.
Wow.
And when they put their 2x10s for the first floor, instead of leaving them full 2x10s, they cut them down to 4 inch. So you had, it was more like a 2x4 holding up that side of the building.
Yikes.
Yee. And now you moved up to Napanock. So you got me singing now.
Nappy Notch.
<Da-da-na-na-na. laughs> So you moved up to Napanock when again?
In 2000.
And how long until you bought the Shanley?
2005.
And it sat completely vacant. So what compelled you to buy this place? Were you trying to start a business?
No. When I was working on the Stone House. So I knew that the Shanley was up for sale, you know. But I had enough to do there. I had 6,000 square feet to work on. And the hotel is a little over 10,000. So I just let it sit, you know. But every time I passed it, it was like saying, buy me, buy me. And at that time, I had belonged to the Napanock Interest Group. And they're the watchdogs of the area, what goes on. And we found out that a gentleman wanted to buy the hotel and turn it into apartments. And so we checked his background and found out that all the other apartments he had were all run down. And we didn't want that in the center of town. So that's when I says, like I said, the hotel kept on saying, buy me. There was something drawing us to the hotel.
You rescued it.
And that's what we did. I bought the hotel. I got in touch with the owner, and I bought it. And all the rest is history from there. You know, I didn't know there was any activity in a hotel until the day after the closing. You know, We were up on the second floor in the old kitchen, which there used to be an apartment up there. And it was myself, my wife, and another couple. And we were up there. We had a candle lit. There was no electric in the building. And all of a sudden, we heard footsteps coming up the staircase.
Sorry, a little sound effect.
We heard the footsteps coming up the staircase. So we all headed to the front door, to the front of the kitchen door. And I went to open it, and I says, I remember locking the door downstairs. And when we opened the door, there was nothing there. And that just started, you know. Then we started walking around. My friend and I, the two of us, we started investigating.
But did you call up the sellers and say, wait, there's something going on here? Did you know that?
No, they didn't know. They were from out of state. They were from Louisiana. So they had no idea.
They didn't even spend any time here, did they?
No, none at all. And they bought it just for an investment to flip over. And so we started walking around the hotel at night. My friend Doug and I, we would come here. And we used to walk through the hotel with our little digital recorders and cameras. And we started, you know, picking up EVPs. And I think what really threw us over the edge is we set up a motion detector camera up in a brothel on an old ladder. And we left it there for about 3 days. And when we came back, we noticed that one picture was taken. And that's the picture I have on the website of the young girl looking out the window. And if you look at the stamp on the picture, the picture was taken at 10-something in the morning.
Interesting. You know?
And then we were coming more, you know. You know, you get an itch, you know, and you have to scratch it, you know, so you keep running back. And and we started walking around snapping pictures of windows and everything else. And we had plastic up by the doorway going to the gentleman's quarters. And we were snapping some pictures, and that's when we got the picture of the guardian standing at the doorway.
Now, what is a guardian?
A guardian, he was, the back room was called, they used to call it the forest room. We call it the gentleman's quarters. And that's where all the men would hang out, because back in those days, women weren't allowed in the bar. So the men used to hang out back there. And they used
the way it should be.
Ooh.
Kidding, of course. I'm pro-feminist.
That's
don't kill
Mike
me.
Mike Taylor.
You can send your hate mail in care of.
So it was the gentleman's quarters. And that's where they used to smoke their cigars and play poker and... a lot of other things went on there. And the guardian protected anybody from going back going back there, because you had the brothel upstairs. So he always stood at the door, and he still stands at the door. You know.
Sal, were you and Cindy ever worried after you purchased the hotel because it was haunted?
No, because there was nothing anything ever violent.
I mean, worried as far as business.
Yeah, we worried that someone's going to be sleeping on the second floor and suddenly run out screaming.
Or that nobody...
That came to our mind, you know.
That nobody would want to stay here because of the activity?
In the beginning, you know, we started thinking about that, you know. But the more that we talked about it and we found out that more people were interested in it.
Right.
You know, and the spirits, we considered them family. And we watch over them and they watch over us. They let us know when there's something wrong in the building. We don't allow provoking in the building. If anybody's caught provoking, they leave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't have a problem escorting somebody to the front door for that, because provoking to me is disrespectful.
Right, it's rude.
And the spirits respect us, and we respect. Like I say, that we don't own the hotel. The spirits own the hotel, and we're just here to take care of it.
So they have the deed.
They have the deed.
Well, Sal, how did the word get out originally about the activity in the hotel? Did just word spread, or did you start telling people?
I started talking to people about it, and to find out more information from the old timers in town. And what I kept on getting back from the old timers was, there's things I can tell you about the hotel, but I can't say. You know, and I always felt, well, if you're not going to say it, don't say you're not, you know, say you don't know anything about it, you know. And I started noticing that a lot of the old timers, when they passed the hotel, They didn't walk on the same side of the street. They would cross the street, pass the hotel, and then walk back over and keep walking down the road.
They're still doing that, you know.
Yes.
I've seen it happen from the window. It's pretty funny.
And that's about it with them. You know, it's and I started I brought in a psychic medium, was the first one, and that was Craig McManus from Cape May. And he walked through the building, and he picked up some fantastic EVPs. And like when he first came here, he said there were spirits here, and he felt very comfortable with them. But by the time we got out of the brothel, he says he felt like the spirits in the neighborhood were coming in. It was a lot more crowded than when he first walked through the door. And then we just started talking about it. You know, then I started listening to different radio shows, and I would call in and talk about it, and different investigators would start coming down, like yourselves when news came down, you know, and just word started spreading, you know. And I have paranormal groups coming from all over the United States, you know, as far as California, Indiana, Canada, you know, and they're all finding things. Very few walk out of here without finding some type of evidence. Mm-hmm. And I say 98% of it are EVPs, and most of them are Class A EVPs. Or the EVPs that I have on a website, the old ones on there were mine, but I don't do that anymore because I get enough information from all the paranormal groups. They send me the EVPs, and I put them on a website. Pictures, the same thing. Paranormal groups take pictures. They'll send me pictures. I put them on a website with their name on it, that they had taken those pictures. And it's really grown. You know, I mean, I have a computer load of EVPs, you know. And
what's the most compelling thing that you've personally experienced, or Cindy, personally? Not other groups, but yourself.
Myself? I used to set up baby monitors in the hotel. And it was just my wife and myself here. Oh, and sometimes another couple would be here with us, and we'd be upstairs in my office. And I put a baby monitor down in this area here, the old bar area. And you would hear the piano. You would hear notes on a piano. And at the time, there was no piano. We didn't have one. You would hear glasses tinkling, like there's somebody setting up a bar. It sounded like there was a big crowd down here. And one night I came down, they were making so much noise. And it was my wife and myself and this lady, Barbara, and her son. I said, I'm going to go downstairs and
put a stop to it.
So I came down, I opened up the bar door. It was pitch black in here. And I told them to quiet it down.
The bar's closing, folks. You don't have to go home, but you got to leave here.
When I shut the bar door, and I started up the staircase, a woman's voice came over the baby monitor telling me to go myself.
Beep. Go beep yourself.
And we found out that there was a lady. Because, you know, when things happen, I started asking questions. You know, I talked to, you know, local people that hung out in a bar and stuff. And found out that back in the 70s, there was a woman that used to work in a bar, and she had a very foul mouth. You know, she wouldn't think twice telling you where to go, you know. And she was a lot of fun, but that's the way she was, you know. And so that validated a lot of things. And that's what we do. You know, when psychics come in and they tell us, well, I feel so-and-so and this and that, we write down all that stuff, and then we start investigating it. We start checking old newspaper records because they'll tell us, well, it was sometime in the 70s or sometime in the 40s. And we would check it out and find out if there was any stories about that person. And it's just like with Caroline, you know, I found that name sketched on the staircase upstairs.
That's right.
Going to the third floor.
Iconic Area Paranormal is here with us. They were here last night, and they got an EVP that we'll play later saying the name Caroline.
Right.
Okay, so I have to ask, were you a believer in ghosts before you moved in here?
Yes, not as much as, like in the Stone House, we had activity, but it was completely different activity. It was more family oriented. We had an old lady over here that didn't like young women coming into the house, or if she didn't like somebody, you would hear her yelling from upstairs, get him out, you know. See, Cindy's more sensitive that to that stuff than I am.
So when are we investigating the stone house?
Anytime, anytime.
Okay, sounds good. Sal, I have a two-part question. My first question is, what would you like to see happen with the Shanley in the future? What's your goal? Or
my goal is to finish the Shanley Hotel and keep it. And my whole thing is to let people know that there's more to, you just don't die. You know, you get buried and covered over, and that's the end of it, you know.
Yeah, we should make a note to the listeners that the Shanley has been undergoing renovations for the past couple of years, right?
Right.
Now, do you believe that's one of the reasons why the spirit activity has kicked up? Because that's one of the popular theories.
No, in the beginning I did, but since we've been communicating more with the spirits, you know, They want it finished. They tell my wife, Cindy, how to decorate. They give her, you know, she can sit there in her rocking chair, and she meditates to them, and they tell her what they want, basically, you know, and that's the way it's done. And
so suppose they ask to have the third floor turned into a disco.
I don't think they would do that, but she'd probably do it. That wouldn't surprise me.
I have a personal question, Sal. What do you prefer, boxers or briefs?
Boxers.
Boxers? Okay.
We're going down this road, aren't we? There goes the show, folks. Thank you. Good night, everyone. No, it wasn't really over. Okay, so we're gonna play some EVPs that we've captured from the Shanley. Sal, I'm not sure you've heard all these. Okay, this was an audible we caught on the third floor. This was not, this is not an EVP. We heard this live. We were up on the third floor and we heard a woman on the second floor, and it sounded like she was saying hello. Hopefully you can hear it. It's a little faint. We'll crank up the volume and see if everybody can hear it.
What was that voice?
You look in my eyes,
sometimes wonder if it's like. What was that voice?
All right, we'll play it one more time.
You look in my eyes, sometimes wonder if it's like. What was that voice?
Okay, that was on the third floor. Now.
Well, we all heard that too. That's.
But could I say something?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
That sounds like Little Rosie.
Oh, really?
It doesn't sound, you know.
Sounds like a girl's
voice. Some of the EVPs
yeah.
that I have with Little Rosie, that sounds like her voice.
Now, Little Rosie, is she the three-year-old girl that fell down the well?
She was a toddler that fell into the well across the road, and that was in 1910. Her father was the barber in a hotel.
The well is still there if anybody wants to go see it later. It's covered, though, so don't worry.
Yeah.
You're not going to fall down the well.
Well, well.
Okay. Now, this next one ties into that first one because this one was an EVP. We didn't hear this live. We were sitting down here in this very room, in the common room. It's called, what do you call it, Sal? The common room? Great room?
You call it the great room.
The great room? Okay. It's a big dichotomy there, common to great. Okay. So we were doing some I think we were just hanging out talking.
Mm-hmm.
And we picked up this voice that sounds like a young girl saying hi.
Everybody that drives by is a maniac.
That's me saying everybody that drives by is a maniac.
Well, that was the night we had the guy driving
there
around.
There was a maniac driving by.
It was.
For 3 hours just driving around.
And we watched him for like ever.
Yeah.
Okay, let me play that again. The high is at the start of the clip.
Hi. Everybody that drives by is a maniac.
So that was pretty interesting because it did sound a little bit like the voice we heard on the second floor. We were coming from the second floor when we were on the third floor. So don't know if it's the same spirit, but...
No, that spirit there is, her name is Marie or Mary.
So you can identify the spirits by the voices you
yes,
captured?
Yes, with all the EVPs that we've been getting, we're starting to put the voice with the spirit. Like Joe on the third floor, his voice, you know, and Claire, you know, we're starting to pick up we're knowing the difference between the spirits and
would that be Stinky Joe?
No, Grouchy Joe.
No, that's Grouchy Joe.
I thought he was Stinky Joe.
Well, Grouchy Joe's on the third floor. Stinky Joe hangs out around here, doesn't he?
Right.
So how many spirits would you say, your guess, how many spirits would you say are in the hotel?
We have anywhere from 30 to 40 spirits in the hotel.
Wow. I hope they're paying rent.
No, they're not.
Are there any more dominant than others?
Joe is the alpha male.
Very interesting. All right, this next one. This one I captured. Who's staying in the Rose Room tonight?
That would be Iris and Stephanie.
Yeah. Okay, this was captured in the Rose Room. I was going up to fetch some equipment out of my bag. Last time I was here, I stayed in the Rose Room. And I had my voice recorder in my hand. I was walking into the room. And they're getting a little nervous sleeping in that room before I even play this. I asked, is anyone in here? And I got a woman saying no. So we'll play that now.
Is anyone in here?
No.
Is anyone in here?
No.
I know I was moving the recorder around a little bit. Can you hear the woman's voice?
Yes, I can hear her.
Play it one more time.
Is anyone in here?
No.
So a little sarcasm there. All right, this next one, Tara caught. This is the weird hacking, coughing, hissing.
Yeah, we were hanging out here in the great room, and actually I think we were just yapping, or we were talking to Sal. I think he was sharing some stories with us. And when I played it back, I heard this sound, and it's not a word. I don't know what it is.
Sounds like someone hacking up a lung.
Yeah. I think so.
All right, so we'll play that now.
My dad's family originally.
Don't know what that is.
Hairball.
Definitely sounds like a hairball. All right, now these two, who caught these, Erica or Lou?
Both of us.
Both of you. Okay. You both share a common recorder, is that how it works?
We did until somebody bought me another recorder.
Ooh,
for my birthday.
Who would that be?
That would be Mike Taylor and Diane Kinstel. My co-hosts.
Okay, so. all right, this one Lou is saying, wow. He is commenting on something Erica said.
Yeah, I said something stupid. Believe it or not.
That's not a stretch for you. All right. So Lou says wow, and the voice
mimics
Lou. Here we go.
Wow. Sounds like a cougar.
Yeah. What, a woman in her 50s who likes young men?
I am not. I'm 43.
Oh, okay. Let me play that over.
Wow.
All right, so the next one. This next one is probably the best from our group that we've captured here. This is mocking Erica.
Well, I wasn't mocking. I was being mocked.
Well, set it up for the crowd.
I was finding it very hard to breathe, and the air was getting very heavy, so I just figured it was my asthma. I borrowed an inhaler from Dana. I took a hit. You could hear me put the cap on. I say thank you because I'm holding it in. And then I put my hand out with the inhaler, joking around, being, you know, the way I usually am. I say, does anybody else want a hit? And then I'd be mocked. Me lucky English.
Okay, here we go with that one.
There's two different voices there. There's the first one kind of sounds like Mickey Mouse that imitates me. And then somebody else jumps in and says, why is he mocking? And then they make some kind of noise that sounds like.
Play it again.
Anybody creeped out?
So, anybody still want to investigate tonight?
Yeah, we got that on the third floor.
Yeah, that was on the third floor.
That first voice that was in there, that's been picked up a few times. And last time was with Debbie Laurie and Barbara Blitzhoffer when they were here. And they were they were looking to play with Jonathan on the third floor. And the same exact voice came out and says, Julie's here.
Really?
Crazy
and
speechy voice?
I have that on the website.
Hmm. Awesome. I'll have to listen to that one. And Poppy is here. Why don't you introduce Poppy?
Yeah, I'd like to introduce Peconic Area Paranormal Investigators. Why don't you guys come up to the microphone and give a shout? Come on. Don't be shy. Let's go. We're waiting.
We need a setup for this EVP.
We got Ken, Ron, and Richie. Welcome, guys.
I'm Ken. I'm one of the co-founders. This is my friend Ron. He's the other co-founder. And one of our investigators, Richie.
Hello, Richie.
Hello. How you doing?
The EVPs that you're going to hear were caught by Richie yesterday.
Last night. Awesome.
The first one you're going to hear is Ron and I. About 10:30 last night, we were getting ready to go upstairs to the third floor.
The third floor. We were just sitting here at this table.
Sitting at the table, and we were just talking about putting things together. And then today, when we reviewed it, we heard this.
I actually took this off of one of my flash drives. Oh, camera one.
Okay, I'll play that again.
I actually took this off of one of my flash drives. Oh, camera one.
I can't make out what it said, Caroline or Caroline.
It sounds to me like the name Carolyn.
That's what we thought, yeah.
Interesting. Sal, is there any history to a Carolyn or Caroline?
Caroline, yes. We already have a picture of her, and that was with Paranormal Poison when her husband was she was standing by the wall in the bar area. And she's light complexion, jet black hair. She's about, say, 5'3", 5'4", something like that. And I found her name written on, etched in the wood on a staircase going to the third floor. We have her picture there. And you can see Paranormal Poison's picture. And you can see her standing right. Now, Caroline is around a lot in the hotel, you know, but we really never knew who she was, you know. I haven't been able to find too much history on her.
That didn't sound like her voice, though.
Sounded like a male's voice saying the name.
Yeah. The picture that we've seen, she looks like a pretty good-looking girl, so...
Yeah, so maybe that's why he's mentioning her.
He's looking for her.
Yeah. I actually took this off of one of my flash drives. Oh, camera one.
Okay, so we're going to play the second EVP you guys caught. Can you set this one up?
Same thing. We're just in this room getting ready, and I just wanted to take a picture of the mirror.
Okay.
We could catch something.
I didn't mean to record you.
That was you sighing afterwards?
Yeah. But
the voice before that wasn't us either. Right. As best we can make out, it's I didn't mean to do it.
I didn't mean to do it. Say that again, Mike.
Okay.
We could catch something.
I didn't mean to record you.
We could catch something.
Have you heard that voice before, Sal?
The voice sounds familiar, but I can't really. It at first I thought it was Joe's voice.
Yeah.
But it's a little different than Joe. You know, Joe has a strong voice like that one too. But
yeah.
What do you think he didn't mean to do?
Well, that EVP was caught on the third floor.
No, it was right here.
All right, because we have a young lady that was murdered on the third floor, and it was supposed to have been done through rough sex. She had her neck snapped. So that makes
a
lot
really of... That's really rough sex.
That's the roughest you can get.
So, you know, and we she blames herself. We have picked that up where she says she thought it was her fault. So,
Now, didn't a gentleman hang himself in the bordello, too?
In the bordello, a gentleman was hung in the bordello.
Was hung. I don't think he hung himself.
Yeah.
Right, but then we had a suicide up on the second floor bathroom? The
second floor. That was during the stock market crash. He lost all his money. He didn't want to go back to his family, and he hung himself in the bathroom.
And that's where you'll all be showering.
Naked. With the spirits watching you. All right, well, thanks, guys, for coming up. Let's give
Thank
it a
you. Hand.
Well, that's pretty interesting stuff. So we're hoping tonight to capture a lot more evidence and hopefully some really good Class A stuff.
Sounds good.
Yeah, we have about, 20 people here tonight?
Yes.
Okay. It's going to be interesting.
Sure is. Oh, Sal found out it was somebody's anniversary tomorrow.
That's right.
Let's yeah, Sal.
A little bit.
Sal, yes. What's this about an anniversary?
Tomorrow is Mr. and Mrs. Shanley's 99th wedding anniversary, April 26th.
Wow.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Maybe we'll get a recording back saying thank you.
Tag it, Mike, tag it. That was you.
Yeah, Mike whispered.
So, Sal, do you have anything coming up in the future? Anything you want to plug?
We have Night Watches coming up June 13th. That's with Todd Sheets. And Michael from Kemp Radio will be here, Kemp Productions. We have Lizzie Starr and Sybil. And Roscoe Phil, that'll be coming in June 6th. And that'll be a gallery reading, a radio show in the evening, and then an investigation with the with mediums.
Brian Harnois and Chad Sylvia.
That'll be June 19th and the 20th.
Mm-hmm.
Brian will be back, and so is Shannon. And that should be a great investigation there. And
you forgot one very important one.
That's right.
Yeah, I think
we'll be back May 9th and May 30th.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Sal.
Remember Island Ghost Investigation?
Yes, yes. That's my best group. You guys are the best.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We love you too.
And I have Mass Paranormal. It's coming up in August, Tommy. And we're very close. We're like brothers, you know, and he's like you guys, very professional, you know, and it's cool when you have people that are really professional come into a place and do an investigation. And, you know, like I don't follow anybody around. You come in to investigate, you investigate, you know, you know what you're doing. You're the professionals and I don't have to worry about you.
Thank you. Yeah. Shout out to Mass Paranormal. We met them last weekend at Ghost Stock in Salem, Massachusetts.
They are fantastic.
Great people.
They're fantastic guys. And everybody should see go up to USS Salem. It's a beautiful ship.
I'm looking forward to checking it out one day.
Well, you'll be here. Well, they have something on Mother's Day. But they have it every couple of weeks. They have investigations of the ship.
A haunted ship?
It's a haunted ship. It was
Holy ship.
It was a nuclear... It was built at the end of the Second War. It was the first nuclear ship. And because the war ended, the government never used it. And she's sitting now where she was built.
Mm-hmm.
And when they had the earthquakes in Greece, they used the ship as a hospital ship. So a lot of people died, and people gave birth on the ship. You know, women gave birth on the ship. And it has a lot of activity to it. A lot
nice.
Of activity.
That'd be great. I've never done a ship, so I'd like to check it out.
Mm.
And another place you should check out is Fort Miffin.
Well, I've been there.
Yeah,
Diane and I were there.
About a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to save that the government, you know, they wanted to close it down, and they wanted to put a Walmart's there. what the paranormal community.
That's what we need. Another Walmart.
The paranormal community got together, and they're doing all types of fundraisers to keep it open and going. You know.
Right, save the fort.
It was the fort that saved America.
Right,
you know, so.
Exactly.
I'd kind of prefer Walmart.
Mike, don't say that.
I'm kidding.
I have to drag him into Walmart. He hates going there.
All right, so we're going to wrap it up, but we want to thank Sal again for joining us on the show. Big applause for Sal.
Thank you for having me.
Yes? Hi, I'm here for the New York Ghost Tour.
Sorry, we're closed. But you can come back next week.
Next week? Forget that. I'll just go check out another place.
Trust me, there's no place half as interesting as ours, dear.
That's so not true. What about the Shanley Hotel in Napanock?
Once you've been to one haunted hotel, you've been to them all.
Not like this place. The Shanley Hotel dates back to 1845, and since then it's been a hotspot for paranormal activity. Mysterious music, smells, whistling, doors opening, footsteps, almost everything you can imagine has been experienced at that hotel.
It's open to the public?
Absolutely. Sal and Cindy, the owners of the hotel, welcome people for regular stays or investigations, and their rates are beyond reasonable. They even offer workshops and in-house psychics.
How did you learn about this place?
By visiting www.shanleyhotel.com. You can get history, investigation info, and much more.
Thanks, I think I will. Just don't tell any of our customers.
Your secret's safe with me. It's not like anyone can hear us.
Attention all ghost hunting enthusiasts. Join Island Ghost Investigations as we explore the mysterious and fascinating Shanley Hotel in Napanock, New York. Learn about the Shanley and its long history as a meeting point in the Great Catskill Mountains. We share with you our personal experiences as well as evidence we've captured during our many investigations at the Shanley. Available dates are May 9th and May 30th. Rate includes a private room at the Shanley and presentation by Island Ghost Investigations, which will prepare you for a night of spooky exploration. We guide you through the hotel and conduct a nighttime investigation, so feel free to bring your cameras, video, and audio recorders. Rate also includes coffee, snacks, and continental breakfast on Sunday morning. Have breakfast out on the porch as you recall the night and experiences with old and new friends. Again, dates are May 9th and May 30th. Go to islandghost.com and click on the events section for more information. Only a couple of rooms still available for May 9th, so hurry. Join us so you too can find a little spirit at the Shanley Hotel.
Well, that concludes our show for this week. Check us out at islandghostradio.com. Have a ghost story to share? Or just want to say hi? We encourage everyone to send us a voicemail. Our number is 631-676-1079. Or you can write to us, island.ghost@yahoo.com.
Oh, the glad one.